Tractate 96. John 16. 12, 13. In this portion of the Holy Gospel, where the Lord says to his disciples, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now, there meets us first the subject of needful inquiry, how it was that he said a little before, All things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you, and yet says here, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. But how it was that he spake of what he had not yet done as if it were done, just as the prophet testifies that God has made those things which are still to come, when he says, Who hath made those things which are still to come, we have already explained as well as we could when dealing with those words themselves. Now, however, you are perhaps wishing to know what those things were which the apostles were then unable to bear. But which of us would venture to assert his own present capacity for what they wanted the ability to receive? And on this account you are neither to expect me to tell you things which perhaps I could not comprehend myself were they told me by another, nor would you be able to bear them, even were I talented enough to let you hear of things that are above your comprehension. It may be, indeed, that some among you are fit enough already to comprehend things which are still beyond the grasp of others, and if not all about which the Divine Master said, I have yet many things to say unto you, yet perhaps some of them, but what they were which he himself thus omitted to tell them, it would be rash to have even the wish to presume to say. For at that time the apostles were not yet fitted even to die for Christ, when he said to them, You cannot follow me now, and when the very foremost of them, Peter, who had presumptuously declared that he was already able, met with a different experience from what he anticipated, and yet afterwards a countless number both of men and women, boys and girls, youths and maidens, old and young, were crowned with martyrdom, and the sheep were found able for that which, when the Lord spake these words, the shepherds were still unable to bear. Ought, then, those sheep to have been asked, in that extremity of trial, when required to contend for the truth even unto death, and to shed their blood for the name or doctrine of Christ, ought they, I say, to have been asked, which of you would venture to account himself ready for martyrdom, for which Peter was still unfit, even when taught face to face by the Lord himself? In the same way, therefore, one may say that Christian people, even when desiring to hear, ought not to be told what those things are of which the Lord then said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. If the apostles were still unable, much more so are you, although it may be that many now can bear what Peter then could not, in the same way as many are able to be crowned with martyrdom which at that time was still beyond the power of Peter, more especially that now the Holy Spirit has been sent, as he was not then, of whom he went on immediately to add the words howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will teach you all truth, thereby showing of a certainty that they could not bear what he had still to say, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon them. Well, then, let us grant that it is so, that many can now bear those things when the Holy Spirit has been sent, which could not then, prior to his coming, be borne by the disciples, do we on that account know what it is that he would not say, as we should know it were we reading or hearing it as uttered by himself. For it is one thing to know whether we or you could bear it, but quite another to know what it is, whether able to be borne or not. But when he himself was silent about such things, which of us could say, it is this or that? Or if he venture to say it, how will he prove it? For who could manifest such vanity or recklessness as when saying what he pleased to whom he pleased, even though true, to affirm without any divine authority that it was the very thing which the Lord on that occasion refused to utter? Which of us could do such a thing without incurring the severest charge of rashness, a thing which gets no countenance from prophetic or apostolic authority? For surely if we had read any such thing in the books confirmed by canonical authority, which were written after our Lord's ascension, it would not have been enough to have read such a statement, had we not also read in the same place that this was actually one of those things which the Lord was then unwilling to tell his disciples, because they were unable to bear them. As if, for example, I were to say that the words which we read at the opening of this gospel, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God," and those which follow, because they were written afterwards, and yet without any mention of their being uttered by the Lord Jesus when he was here in the flesh, but were written by one of his apostles, to whom they were revealed by his Spirit, were some of those which the Lord would not then utter, because the disciples were unable to bear them, who would listen to me in making so rash a statement? But if in the same passage where we read the one we were also to read the other, who would not give due credence to such an apostle? But it seems to me also very absurd to say that the disciples could not then have borne what we find recorded, about things invisible and of profoundest import, in the apostolic epistles, which were written in after days, and of which there is no mention that the Lord uttered them when his visible presence was with them. For why could they not bear then what is now read in their books, land borne by every one, even though not understood? Some things there are, indeed, in the Holy Scriptures which unbelieving men both have no understanding of when they read or hear them, and cannot bear when they are read or heard, as the pagans, that the world was made by him who was crucified, as the Jews, that he could be the Son of God, who broke up their mode of observing the Sabbath, as the Sabellians, that the Father and Son and Holy Spirit are a Trinity, as the Arians, that the Son is equal to the Father, and the Holy Spirit to the Father and Son, as the Photonians, that Christ is not only man like ourselves, but God also, equal to God the Father, as the Monachines, that Christ Jesus, by whom we must be saved, condescended to be born in the flesh and of the flesh of man, and all others of divers perverse sects, who can by no means bear whatever is found in the Holy Scriptures and in the Catholic faith that stands out in opposition to their errors, just as we cannot bear their sacrilegious vaporings and mendacious insanities. For what else is it not to be able to bear, but not to retain in our minds with calmness and composure? But what of all that has been written since our Lord's ascension with canonical truth and authority, is it not read and heard with equanimity by every believer, and catechumen also, before in his baptism he received the Holy Spirit, even although it is not yet understood as it ought to be? How then, could not the disciples bear any of those things which were written after the Lord's ascension, even though the Holy Spirit was not yet sent to them, when now they are all born by catechumens prior to their reception of the Holy Spirit? For although the sacramental privileges of believers are not exhibited to them, it does not therefore happen that they cannot bear them, but in order that they may be all the more ardently desired by them, they are honorably concealed from their view. Wherefore, beloved, you need not expect to hear from us what the Lord then refrained from telling his disciples, because they were still unable to bear them, but rather seek to grow in the love that is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given unto you, that, fervent in spirit, and loving spiritual things, you may be able, not by any sign apparent to your bodily eyes, or any sound striking on your bodily ears, but by the inward eyesight and hearing, to become acquainted with that spiritual light and that spiritual word which carnal men are unable to bear. For that cannot be loved which is altogether unknown. But when what is known, in however small a measure, is also loved, by the self-same love one is led on to a better and fuller knowledge. If, then, you grow in the love which the Holy Spirit spreads abroad in your hearts, he will teach you all truth, or, as other codices have it, he will guide you in all truth as it is said, "Lead me in thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth." So shall the result be, that not from outward teachers will you learn those things which the Lord at that time declined to utter, but be all taught of God, so that the very things which you have learned and believed by means of lessons and sermons supplied from without regarding the nature of God, as incorporeal, and unconfined by limits, and yet not rolled out as a mass of matter through infinite space, but everywhere whole and perfect and infinite, without the gleaming of colors, without the tracing of bodily outlines, without any markings of letters or succession of syllables your minds themselves may have the power to perceive. Well, now, I have just said something which is perhaps of that same character, and yet you have received it, and you have not only been able to bear it, but have also listened to it with pleasure. But were that inward teacher, who, while still speaking in an external way to the disciples, said, I have still many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now, wishing to speak inwardly to us of what I have said of the incorporeal nature of God in the same way as he speaks to the angels, who always behold the face of the Father, we should still be unable to bear them. Accordingly, when he says, he will teach you all truth, or will guide yon into all truth, I do not think the fulfillment is possible in any one's mind in this present life, for who is there, while living in this corruptible and soul-oppressing body, that can know all truth, when even the Apostle says, we know in part, but because it is affected by the Holy Spirit, of whom we have now received the earnest, that we shall attain also to the actual fullness of knowledge, whereof Iris said, by the same Apostle, but then face to face, and, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known, not as a thing which he knows fully in this life, but which, as a thing that would still be future unto the attainment of that perfection, the Lord promised us through the love of the Spirit, when he said, he will teach you all truth, or will guide you unto all truth. As these things are so, beloved, I warn you in the love of Christ to beware of impure seducers and sects of obscene filthiness, whereof the Apostle says, but it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, lest, when they begin to teach their horrible impurities, which no human ear whatever can bear, they declare them to be the very things whereof the Lord said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now, and assert that it is the Holy Spirit's agency that makes such impure and detestable things possible to be born. The evil things which no human modesty whatever can endure are of one kind, and of quite another are the good things which man's little understanding is unable to bear. The former are wrought in unchanged asked bodies, the latter are beyond the reach of all bodies, the one is perpetrated in the filthiness of the flesh, the other is scarcely perceivable by the pure mind. Be you therefore renewed in the spirit of your mind, and understand what is the will of God, which is good, and acceptable, and perfect, that, rooted and grounded in love, you may be able to comprehend, with all saints, what is the length, and breadth, and height, and depth, even to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. For in such a way will the Holy Spirit teach you all truth, when he shall shed abroad that love ever more and more largely in your hearts.